Let us pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Epiphany meditation. Epiphany is a beautiful word. Epiphany. As you probably all know, I'm kind of a word guy. You've probably figured that out by now. There's almost nothing I love more than a great word, except maybe a handful of them strung together in an interesting way. I love that even more. I've pretty much dedicated my life to arranging words into little rows. It's a wonderful and mysterious practice that always yields surprising results when eventually I discover what these carefully arranged words have to say for themselves. You may object, surely a writer knows what they want to write before they start writing, you protest. Well, this may be true if you're writing a grocery list. But if you endeavor anything more serious than a to-do list, then, I insist, and I think I'm not alone in this, writing is not a process of recording what you believe. It's a process of discovering what you believe. The process of writing reminds me that belief, too, is a process. There, writing down these ideas, I've stumbled upon a point for one of my favorite soapboxes, the why religion is important argument. For much of human history, everyone was religious, and religious institutions like the church were the center of power and wealth. Preachers at such times were the mouthpieces of the status quo. But that clearly is not the case today. A lot of kids are out there playing soccer. Well, perhaps not today. But they have soccer practice. Most young adults think that religion has nothing to do with their lives, and so they don't even consider taking the time or trouble on a Sunday morning to come to church. And in consequence, we preachers are obliged to justify ourselves by the why bother with religion argument. Well, here's the point that I just stumbled on. I believe religion is an essential part of human life because when we call ourselves a religious people, we are acknowledging that we are always in search of truth. Just like a writer who arranges words not to record, but to discover what he or she believes. A person of faith is a person whose life is dedicated to the discovery of truth. Religion, at its best, is a lifelong narrative of discovery. Sometimes we discover things gradually, and sometimes it comes to us all of a sudden. Epiphany. Like all great words, the word epiphany has a history, and with that history comes layers of meaning. The English word epiphany comes down to us from an earlier French word and an earlier, even earlier Latin version, but the original epiphaneia is Greek, and this word means literally epi, onto, and phania, to show. Originally, then, epiphany meant a kind of appearance or a showing. And the reason we are talking about this word at all this morning is because this Sunday, as you can see from the top of your bulletin, is the first Sunday after Epiphany. The Feast of Epiphany, celebrated by Christians all over the world, traditionally takes place on the 6th of January, the 12th day after Christmas. That is, yesterday. Since it occurs shortly after Christmas, Epiphany is the third season of our church year. During Advent, we anticipate the birth of Christ. During Christmas, of course, we celebrate and rejoice Christ's birth. What then is Epiphany? According to tradition, Epiphany celebrates the part of the story when the wise men come and pay homage to the Christ child. And that, of course, is why Carol just read us that story. The basics of this story are known to all of us. If you went to Sunday school, you know it like the back of your hand. An unusually bright star appears in the sky. Some wise men come from the east following that star. The text tells us that when the wise men saw the star, they rejoiced exceedingly with great joy. And going into the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother, and they fell down and worshipped him. That's the Sunday school version. But woven into this story is another story, one of political intrigue that sounds less like Sunday school and more like Game of Thrones. When the wise men arrived in Jerusalem, they asked around, "Where is he who was born king of the Jews?" Maybe they weren't so wise after all, or at least not very street smart, because all this asking around, of course, it tipped off King Herod, who was not at all pleased to hear about this birth of a new king. The text says that Herod then summoned the wise men in secret. And again, they rather unwisely spill more beans. Herod instructs them to find the child and inform him of the whereabouts of the child so that he can come and worship him too. Is it possible that the wise men really don't recognize Herod's motives? At the end of the story, we are told that the wise men are warned by a dream not to return to Herod, a detail that reinforces the interpretation that indeed the wise men really were so dim-witted that they did not see through Herod's schemes. So why do we call them wise men? Where is their wisdom? Epiphany. In addition to its religious meaning, this word also has been used as a literary term. The famous Irish author James Joyce is particularly known for his use of epiphany. In his stories, James Joyce skillfully creates the conditions that allow his characters to look at something that is totally normal and see it instead as something extraordinary, something beautiful, something radiant. The beauty and the radiance comes from the essence of the thing, its soul, its integrity, the way in which the thing mysteriously contains meaning or truth that is far beyond itself. When we speak of epiphany in this literary sense, we are not talking about the essential truth. We are not talking about the essential truth of the thing itself, but rather of the perception of the thing. The epiphany is not the beauty, it's the experience of the beauty. And a person's capacity to have this experience is, perhaps, a testimony to that person's delicacy of emotion, the strength of their faith, or the depth of their wisdom. So this, then, may be the way that we can restore the adjective wise to these followers of the star. They may not have been worldly wise to the wily ways of tyrants, but they were men who had enough faith to follow a path that they did not fully understand to a conclusion that utterly transformed them. They were open, vulnerable, keenly sensitive to the essence of things, so that when they found that most normal thing, a mother with her child, they did not experience a mother and a child. They saw something essential, something divine, something that changed them forever. Epiphany. The story reminds us that as people of faith, we must be open so that when the narrative of our lives gives us a star, we follow it. And when we arrive at the place beneath the star, we are vulnerable to the essence of the things that we find there. Amen.